From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of January 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, President Obama believes China is manipulating the value of its currency, but he's hesitant to do anything about it. And the livestock producers around the nation are scrambling to let governmental officials know they stink. That's their livestock, anyway. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly, and then I promise this will be the last day we'll discuss that land auction in Springfield. We'll hear some perspective from U of I's Dale Latz. This is the Closing Market Report. It's a production of public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at 582 and three quarters, up 16 cents on the afternoon. May futures settled at 595 and a half, up 16. In July for the day at 606 and a quarter, 15 cents higher. September soft red, 629 and a quarter, up 15 cents. March Kansas City wheat at 610 and a half, up 12 and a half cents. From the corn pit nearby March at 390 and a half, up 3. May up 3 as well at $4 a penny and a half, and July corn futures at $4.12, up 3 cents. September 422 and a quarter, 2 and a half higher. December futures at 436, a settlement price for the harvest month up 2 and a half cents. The March 2010 contract at 449, up 2 cents for the day. Crude oil, March contract at 46.47, up 280. Ethanol up 159. They're at $1.59.6, up 1 8 cents. And the RBOB gas at 1 14 3 cents, up 4 9 cents. March soybean futures for the day at $10.09, down 3. May at 10.16 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. July at 10.23 and a quarter, 4 1/4 lower. And the August at 10.14, down 14, or rather 4 1/2. And September down 6. At $9.81. November soybeans, $9.43 1/4, down 14 1/4. March bean meal at $3.18.30, up a dime. And the March bean oil up 7 cents at $33.60. Feb live cattle at $82.67 1/2, up 40. And the Jan feeders at $93.65, 17 1/2 cents higher. Lean hogs February contract 72 1/2 cents lower at $58.92 1/2. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. We'll recap the crude oil. March contract at $46.47, up $2.80 a barrel. April at $49.21, $3.38 higher. Feb ethanol at $1.59 6 cents, up 1 8 cents. The natural gas trading the February at $4.49 1/10, down 19 cents. And the RBOB gasoline for the day at $1.14 3 cents, up 4 9 cents. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, 8 3/10 higher at $1.43 2/10, and the propane at 72 cents even, just about 2/10 of a cent higher for the afternoon. January gold futures, $895.30, up $37.10 an ounce, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands on the afternoon at 80.48, that's down 73 points for the day. The U.S. dollar at 85.53 is up 0.05 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, according to our own Mike Sola. He says in northern Illinois and Indiana, snow showers. In western Illinois, mostly cloudy, with widely scattered snow showers and flurries. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 8 below zero in northwestern Illinois to 25 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Saturday should be mainly sunny across the two states. Highs will range from 5 in northwestern Illinois to 32 in the south. The extended forecast says below freezing temps will cover all but the far southern tip of the two-state area in the early part of next week. Moderation will bring more seasonal temps to the area for Wednesday and Thursday of next week before another reinforcing lobe of that Arctic air tries to work across the area late into the following week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to find out what happened in the agricultural markets for the day and the week. Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, is in, filling in for his compadre there in the office, Mike Zuzulo, who's away this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Todd. Nice to be with you today.
Well, it's good to be with you. And, you know, it's really good to have you on when we have a cattle on feed report, because I think you have a good handle on what's happening with the livestock industry. On feed as of January 1st at 93%. Placements in December set at 97, marketing's at 102. The on-feed was pretty close to where things were supposed to be. December placements, though, were down, average guess, at 100% or 100 nearly in 1% and off at 97%. What'd you think of the numbers?
I think it's a good report for the cattle market. When you got the combination of the placements are down, and definitely the guys have marketed the cattle well at the top end of the range. So it looks favorable to see the cattle market, especially from the price levels we're at. I think it's going to be able to rally from these levels, Todd. So it was a good report for cattle.
Good report for cattle. Will it cause producers to put more on feed eventually?
Oh, I think so. But I think they're in kind of the wait-and-see mode here, too. I mean, it's going to take some stimulation to see that price come back around. I think they're also watching their feed cost. And, you know, I've seen that kind of jump up here recently with the corn going up. So at this point, I think they're probably cautious, but it does show that the trend would be in their favor to see better cattle prices as we go forward.
Over on the Board of Trade from the CME Group, for the week it was really a pretty quiet week. We had some things happening, but as we finished the week, wheat futures were up 4 on the week. Corn futures are down a half for the whole week. Beans were only off 11 cents, and the nearby Novembers were off 28 and 3 quarters. What'd you make of the week's trade?
A pretty good and active week. I think the positives we came out of this week were the exports finally picked up the pace today. That was good to see that. The South American weather, Argentina, is still a factor. It's kind of at a critical point on corn. You know, if we didn't get a higher close or a higher action today, you know, it looked like it might want to break out to the downside. So at least we're favorably on the plus side. Disappointed, I guess, in the sell-off at the end of the day. Had some pretty good gains going during the course of the day. So a little bit disappointing to see a sell-off.
Yeah, disappointing to see that sell-off in the beans. Do you think that the beans really need to lead the market higher based off what's happening in South America?
Well, I think it's probably the market that's had the most strength, that's had the most play with the weather, but I think there's two key differences here. Number one, Brazil is not as big a problem as Argentina, and that's a bigger bean area. And number two, the corn kind of got some life with the Argentinian corn crop really struggling right now and really in a critical stage of development. So those two factors come around, the beans weakening up because, again, I think it's the oldest part of the market that's driven us up here.
What's your view as a farmer for the 2009 growing season?
Chemical and fertilizer prices are still, you know, a struggle for the corn side of the equation. We did pick up some strength, you know, corn leading in a new crop over the beans today. The thing that's discouraging about the beans is the bull spreads are kicking in and causing that November 09 to drop down. But a lot of guys can still make beans a profitable crop in 09 at these price levels. Number two, it takes a lot less decisions right now. You don't have to go out and try to fight that fertilizer market. So at this point, I would think it's kind of an easy decision, Todd, to have more bean acres than you would have done in the past few years.
Speaking of past few years, how much more flexible do you think producers are with their acreage today than they would have been a decade ago or two decades ago? It seems to me that by the time we got through falls in the 80s and the early 90s, that there was a pretty good idea of what those acres were going to be. Is that still the case on the most of the acres? Has the margin on that changed very much?
Well, I think guys are more flexible today, and I think probably Freedom to Farm started that process down the road. I think you kind of got to look at state by state, too. I mean, in your world over by Champaign, I mean, it's better corn-growing country than maybe over in our part of Indiana where it gets in. We can kind of have better bean yields or at least yields that make beans more attractive as you go around different parts of the country. Again, that's what makes the beans more attractive. So I think guys are more flexible, but I think the biggest detriment to corn, again, is guys typically have made those fertilizer decisions, And at this point in time, there's still many decisions on corn yet to be made, Todd.
Would you agree with what USDA has set for the yearly averages for corn and soybeans at this point?
Well, I think that's about as good as guess. I think, again, probably at this point, they're probably a little bit high. It's very difficult to make projections far out with what's going on in the economy. You got several other factors that typically don't come into play that we've got to see the economy get better. We've got to see ethanol industry get better. So a couple of wild cards out there that are really tough to predict. So I'm going to give them a lot of slack on that one this year.
Anything on strategy you wanted to cover with me today before I let you go?
Well, we talked to a lot of guys today about either taking advantage of this rally because, again, weather rallies are eventually going to end. When we get to the upper end of the ranges, take advantage of those. If you don't want to do it in the cash side, we definitely recommend having puts underneath you to create a floor just in case this weather market might end any day next week or the week after.
Chuck, thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Friday afternoons. Well, if you haven't visited our website lately, please do that. The address is willag.org, willag.org. And if you can't get to the web or listen to us on the radio, and you'd like to know what the numbers are from the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and a little analysis, you can do that at 10:30 and 3:15 daily on our telephone line, 217-333-3434. Just jingle it up, and you can hear a portion of what you would have heard right there on the radio station.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, Treasury Secretary nominee Timothy Geithner says President Barack Obama believes China is manipulating its currency, a declaration that American manufacturers have long sought in their efforts to combat America's soaring trade deficit with China. But Geithner also suggested that now might not be the right time to brand China as a currency manipulator under U.S. trade law, a designation that would trigger negotiations between the two countries that could result in U.S. economic sanctions against China. In another of its last-minute actions, the Bush administration reported the amount of highly trade-distorting amber box farm subsidies it paid out during the years 2006 and 2007. That report to the World Trade Organization indicated the figures $7.74 billion for 2006 and $6.26 billion for 2007, down significantly from previous years, due largely to higher market prices paid for program crops. Under its current WTO commitments, the U.S. is permitted to spend up to $19.1 billion a year on amber box programs. Livestock producers across the country with confined animal feeding operations are scrambling to call state and local officials to essentially tell them that, yes, I have livestock, and they have odors. Larger livestock operations that emit more than 100 pounds of hydrogen sulfide or ammonia from manure over a 24-hour period are required to report these emissions. The new reporting rule comes under the Environmental Protection and Community Right to Know Act. On Monday, the National Pork Producers Council filed a lawsuit in Washington, D.C., seeking a legal review of the EPA decision. The lawsuit asks the court to stop EPA from enforcing the rule until after EPA establishes some adequate system of accepting the emissions reports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, Dave, thanks. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, the Closing Mark Report, and of Commodity Week, which you can hear tomorrow on some of these radio stations, or this evening if you'd like, on our website. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG. www.farmland.org. Now up next, Illinois farmland, as you already know, is selling pretty well. That despite that mid-year pause as the economy faltered. I'll have more on some of the land auctions in the state with some perspective from the University of Illinois. This is the beginning of a land auction in Springfield, Illinois. 4,010 acres in a 7-square-mile area went on the sale block January the 21st.
$5,000. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, the auction's on. Here we go, track number one. And by
the land at auction averaged $5,986 an acre. The farms were near Litchfield, about 50 miles northeast of St. Louis on Interstate 55. It was a good sale and one of the first, and certainly a trendsetter, since the U.S. economy faltered last fall. Farmland prices in the state peaked during the summer months, but as the $6,000 figure here shows, it's still holding strong, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Dale Latz.
So it's come off the peak, but still, from the beginning to the end of the year, we're still up for the year. And it's actually probably a pretty good sign that we're kind of holding in there right now with the drop in the commodity prices that we have had. So it's come down some, but I think we're holding pretty good.
The question then is, can a buyer make money on $6,000 an acre farmland? The answer, while spending that much cash is likely to make everyone a little nervous, is yes.
I think if you look at it from a capitalization approach or from a financial approach of, well, what am I netting giving $4 corn or $3.50 corn and budgeted costs, we would probably be looking in the $5,000 to $6,000 an acre area if you use $3.50. If you bump that up to $4.50 a bushel corn, then you're in the $6,000 to $6,500 area. So we might be a little overpriced right now at the lower commodity prices and the higher input costs, but it's not way out of the range from a financial standpoint of what, you know, when we look at the earnings of farm ground and capitalizing that, what we might expect for farmland sales or farmland values.
I've got two fives. That'd be 10,000, 11,000 now, 11,000. No, it doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. I got 5,000, 52 and a half, by 52 and a half, 52 and a half, 5,500 now, 5,500.
The recent farmland sales suggest the agricultural economy, unlike the rest of the U.S. economy, is still strong. The higher commodity prices, whilst putting pressure on the general economy, have resulted in very good times on the farm and continues to attract a lot of onlookers.
People are interested yet now in investing in farmland. I think there's still a long-range bullishness of what might, you know, happen in the ag sector and the demand for food and those type of things, even though in the short run here we've seen some, obviously, some drops in demand and so forth. And I think this is reflected. Also, I think with the uncertainty of what's happened in the stock market and things like that, again, it comes back to land as a tangible asset. You can see it, you can feel it, and so forth. And that's probably playing a little role in this also of holding land values fairly strong from that standpoint, from an investment standpoint.
207!
Farmland is usually a safe place to put your money for the long term. It took 70 years to compile the 4,010 acres of the Kilton farms that sold at auction. It will be interesting to see how the $24 million invested in those farms this year will pay out over the next 7 decades. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us. Bruce is the general manager of the co-op's 10 central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
You're not at any of the 10 today, are you?
No, I'm at Springfield at the Grain and Feed Association. We had a board of directors meeting today, and I need to thank Jody for letting me have her office this afternoon.
Well, thank Jody for us, too. How many board of directors are there for the Grain and Feed Association?
Boy, I would have to count. I'm not sure, to tell you the truth.
Probably 10 or 12,
10, I would 15.
Assume. Yeah, and what's the feeling among them about the agricultural industry in the coming year?
Cautiously optimistic. We're running counter-cyclical on the grain side of the industry. We had our tough time during the run-up last summer, and this year, from the fall forward, pretty decent volumes, pretty decent service revenues, so things aren't bad, unless you're one of the fertilizer guys, and then they're going to have the interesting year this year.
Yeah, I suppose. Do you have a couple of those folks that are sitting on the board of directors that are both?
Yes, we do.
And their fertilizer side is hurting?
A little more interesting.
Well, that's a nice way to put it, I suppose. Is it from their perspective, and I don't want to get too deep into this, I suppose, but is the fertilizer side hurting more now than the grain side was last year?
Boy, it's hard for me to quantify on that. You know, it's an area of concern. Most of the people on the board here, of course, are primarily grain or grain divisions rather than the fertilizer side. It's just like the concern has switched to a different side of the crop, input versus output.
All right. So let's talk about the output side of the crop.
Okay.
and cash grain market just a bit. What are you hearing about it today?
Corn saw some interest. We saw some pops in the Gulf market this week. Now, I guess that probably relates to the good export sales.
Sure.
Today. We finally saw a decent number today. So that was at least a short-term pop. Now, the bad part there is sometimes when they double book because of logistical problems, that can hurt us later on down the road. Sales have been spotty. Of course, you know, it's been like the Chicago Board of Trade and Yo-Yo Club this week, up and down all over the place, so hard to get much of a handle. But we've seen some selling on spikes, and we've seen the offer book rebuilt. Basis-wise, again, some near-term interest. Everything seems like it's front-end loaded. Up deferred, there's really no interest. Do you look at the new crop numbers? Those are all pretty nominal. There's nothing actually trading out there.
Well, does that give you hope that prices will move higher, or that prices, sure, it would seem that would give you hope prices are headed higher at some point?
It would give me some hope. I mean, seeing some basis pop feels better. I'm not sure, though, in the longer term than on corn, that's not an opportunity to take advantage of some better basis numbers if we see them in here. You look at it, there's still an awful lot of corn that are out there in those bins. It's the crop that I don't think is going to keep real well. And an opportunity to move it is probably something to take advantage of.
And if we could go back to something you said earlier in the conversation about double booking because of logistical problems and that coming back potentially to hurt the marketplace, how often does that happen?
It's usually a logistical play where they have barges on that are caught and not moving, and then they'll look for something closer to port or a train that will cover a nearby sale, so they won't have to pay a bunch of demurrage on a boat down at the Gulf. The flip side of that is when that barge moves and they're out there trying to sell something up because they don't need it at that point.
Right, so those barges that got caught in the ice up river are the ones they're logistically having a problem with.
Right. Sounds like open water at Naples from the guys I was talking to, but some pretty good delays down at Mel Price.
Did you manage to get your bids for the day?
I don't have those for today.
I didn't think you would. That's okay, but thanks much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's Bruce Bostard. He is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on Friday afternoons. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg, the director of the NOAA's Midwestern Regional Climate Center, will join us. Be sure to visit our website, willag.org. And if you can't do that, how about our telephone line, 217-333-3434. Both will update you on the numbers and analysis from the Chicago Board of Trade.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich says his decision to boycott his state Senate impeachment trial is not an act of defiance. Blagojevich is holding a news conference in Chicago at this hour. He says the Senate impeachment trial is just hanging him and is not intended to give him a fair trial. The governor has called on Chicago newspaper editorial boards to urge the Illinois Senate to change the trial rules, and he is also asking the Senate leadership to change those trial rules, which he says keep him from being able to call witnesses or challenge prosecution evidence. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley says Governor Blagojevich is, quote, cuckoo. The powerful mayor was asked at a news conference today what he thinks about the governor's claim that he could be thrown out of office as a part of a plot to increase state taxes. Daley responded by imitating a cuckoo clock. One Eastern Illinois man has been rescued and two other men are missing after their boat capsized in the Indian Ocean during a two-year round-the-world journey. U.S. Coast Guard officials in Miami say Leo Sherman of Gilman was rescued yesterday. One of the missing men is Gwen Caltra of Onarga. He is a cousin of State Representative Shane Caltra. Gwen Caltra reportedly built the 43-foot catamaran they were sailing in. A Florida sailor is also missing. A Champaign County plant that makes products for the steel industry will begin closing in March, leaving 98 people without jobs. The owner says the Vesuvius USA plant in Fisher will close because of a drop in demand. Illinois' unemployment rate climbed to 7.6% in December, the highest monthly rate since June of 1993. That's higher than the national unemployment rate of 7.2%. It's 29 degrees outside Campbell Hall in Urbana. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg of NOAA and the Midwestern Regional Climate Center joins us, where he serves as the director of that organization, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Todd.
It was not so bad when I left the house this morning, but by the time we got to this program in the afternoon, it's pretty cold out there.
Yeah, well, our little encounter with some mild weather was rather brief, and right now the cold front has moved almost all the way through Illinois, and we're going to have a couple more days here of below normal cold weather here in January, and looks like we might get some moderation later next week, but we're back in the cold. Not quite as cold, anywhere near as cold, as a matter of fact, as early this week, when we were down to 20 below or more in parts of Illinois, but it will be colder than normal.
Colder than normal, zero?
Don't really think we might see some zeros, especially a little bit north central Illinois and northern Illinois. There's still a little bit of snow cover up there. We lost a lot of ours here because of the warm weather, but it's been pretty deep up in northern Illinois. So as the center of the high moves over, we could see some colder weather, especially toward Monday or Tuesday morning. But winds will tend to keep it up, and clouds will tend to keep the temperature up a little bit. So we might see a few zero or sub-zero readings, but I think they'll be fairly scattered.
Climatologically, how odd is a 20 below reading that we got last week?
Well, our all-time record here is minus 25 here in Champaign-Urbana. But in general, that was a pretty rare event that we had. We had a lot of locations reporting minus 25 to minus 30 up in northern Illinois where the snow cover was deep. And we haven't been that cold since the mid-90s. We had that February 96 cold outbreak, and then back in the 70s, a lot of the records that were broken this week throughout the Midwest, not just Illinois, but Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, were set back in the winter of January 1977, which is one of the more severe winters we've had here in Illinois. So that gives you some perspective on how serious it was, but I saw minus 40s in Iowa.
It was back then, you mean?
Just this week.
Yeah,
it was pretty cold. It was a pretty rare event.
Yeah, it was a very rare event. If you look a little further out over the next couple of weeks, what do you see?
Well, I don't think I think anybody holding out for an extended period of warm weather is going to be disappointed. I think the word will be variability here the next couple of weeks. We'll have some cold periods, but in between time it will warm up a little bit in between systems. We're not going to have the deep trough funneling in the cold air all the time, but I think winter hasn't quite left yet, but it won't. Hopefully won't be quite as severe as it was this week.
Well, winter hasn't left yet, and I suspect we have quite a little bit of it left around for this season yet.
We probably do, especially through mid-February.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
No, I think we're pretty dry right now. We could use some precipitation, but That's about it.
Okay, thanks much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joins us from the Illinois State Water Survey, which is located right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. This program, the Closing Marker Report, is a production of the U of I and WILL. It's public radio for the farming world from this campus. If you'd like to hear it again, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.